Thanks.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? The rappel mic. I'm making sure everyone can hear me on that. Okay. It's already got that up for me. Well, good morning. It's a lot different to speak to y'all as it is to go into the prison and speak to where I used to be and to the people that I was in the shoes of them. So it's a great privilege to be in front of y'all and share some thoughts and this great song we're going to look at. I've never preached here before, so it's the first time, and I look forward to it, and glad to have the opportunity and give Jerry a break from his great preaching he does, and how blessed we've been in the last couple of years of his great counsel and dedication to the Word and being our shepherd now, him and Daryl. And what a great blessing that's been to us, and seeing us grow and flourish and bring out the great strengths in all of us that we have to offer to each other and to the world. So let me raise this up. So before we get to Psalms 23, we're going to talk about sheep. So people are often described as sheep in the Bible. Sure, all of y'all realize that throughout the years of reading the Bible. There's a few verses we can look at here. In Jeremiah 50, verse 6, "My people have been lost sheep. Their shepherds have led them astray, turning them away on the mountains. From mountain to hill they have gone. They have forgotten their fold." I guess I can advance with this. Nice. Ezekiel 34, 6, "My sheep were scattered. They wandered all over the mountains and on every high hill. My sheep were scattered over all the face of the earth, with none to search or seek for them." Matthew 9:36, "When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd." 1 Peter 2, verse 25, "For you were straying like sheep, but have now returned to the shepherd and overseer of your souls." Okay, so sheep, is there any way I can put that a little bigger? Is this what I need to deal with?
That's what you deal with.
Okay. It's a lot different what I was dealing with at the house. But this is okay, I can see it. I don't need glasses yet. So sheep, they're very helpless. They don't have any defense mechanism for themselves. That's on the left here. Okay. Okay, presenter's view, y'all's view. They don't have any upper teeth. As you can see, they just have the bottom teeth there. They don't have any claws. They have the hoofs there. They might have some forked ones too. I think there's a picture I've seen, but they don't have any kind of way of defending themselves with any kind of claws like a dinosaur or a dog or even a cat. I mean, we've all been scratched by one of those. Not a dinosaur, but... They're unable to growl and intimidate their predators. And take the time here. This is a quick video. That's all they got. You can't hear it out there. Okay, stop playing. We're going to probably have to... All right, we're going to just get through this. They're prone to wander. It stopped. Good. I guess it wanted to get the point across. That's all they got, though. They're very prone to wander. And they're willing to eat anything. And they're very susceptible to diseases. I looked at an article about sheep. And they've got a list of them. I wasn't going to bombard you with all the diseases that they incur, but they are very susceptible to diseases. And we have some brethren up north that take care of animals, and she is telling us about sheep and all the things she's got to deal with them. Sheep need protection and provision. Make sure y'all can see that. So let's look at this great song. Y'all can see that all right? Good. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. So we're going to break this song down and look at each verse. Hopefully make good time in doing it. In verse 1, the Lord is my shepherd. So shepherds know their sheep. And sheep do know the shepherd's voice. I had a clip for this, but we're just going to look at John 10, verse 1 through 4. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name, and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. People were created with a want and need to follow someone. LJ's not here this morning, but we all have the childhood superheroes that we would look up to and follow and still follow. And LJ, he likes Superman. He's always wearing a Superman shirt, and that's his hero there for the superheroes. And we all have those. And with our elders, you know, we follow them because they're following Christ and they're helping us follow Christ in a more deeper way, because as their example shows us how to follow Christ and their dedication and their life of no repute, we look up to that. We look forward to follow them as they follow Christ. And as Paul says, we all follow Christ. In this great song that we were all introduced by Jerry, was from Bob Dylan. You got to serve somebody. And how true is this? Let me read this. You're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. God has put that in us to serve something or someone. And a lot of times we're serving the wrong thing, but as how blessed we are to have the good shepherd, Jesus Christ, to be our shepherd, so we could follow him, and now we have elders that are following him in a daily basis, entering in his word and looking at that, and we see their lives, and that helps us and assists us in following Christ better. I shall not want. So we talk about wants or needs here. In today's society, you know, you hear, you know, I need money. I need this intimate relationship. I need this nice vehicle. I recently just kind of got caught in the thinking like that with the wanting a Honda Odyssey, but we had to settle for something not as nice. I need a house. I need a certain job to do right and to get ahead. That's all wants. Katie and I and the family could stay out in the tent or be living with y'all. We don't need a house. These things are wants. And you hear the world talking about these needs as wants. And David understood what a want was. It was really, in this psalm, he's really talking about a need. As a young shepherd out in the fields and tending the flock and overseeing them, he might stay out there during the day, during the night. And really, he just needs food, water, and clothing, and some shelter. And he might do that with a cave or or with some branches or something. What we're talking about here is really the needs and the necessities of life, not what we want. Verse 2, He makes me lie down in green pastures. It's important to understand that sheep won't lay down unless they know it's safe. And that's true. And as we think about Middleburg, I mean, there's a lot of security here with the unity and the family we have here. I mean, we as sheep can actually lay down knowing it's safe here, because now we have elders that are following Christ, and we know that things are being taken care of. We know that the souls of us and the that we're being overseen by some good shepherds, and that their shepherd is our shepherd. And what a blessing with the unity, and Jerry often speaks about that. In Acts 20, this is the verse that really moved Daryl to become an elder, was this verse right here. And I think I added this chapter and verse. Acts 20, verse 28 and 30, I have it right here. Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which He bought with His own blood. I know that after I leave, savage wolves will come in among you and will not spare the flock. Even from your own number, men will arise and distort the truth in order to draw away disciples after them. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I never stopped warning each of you night and day with tears. And that was Daryl's conviction to move him to finally realize that he needed to be an elder and a shepherd of this congregation. And how blessed we are by his conviction of being moved by the Word, by this chapter and these verses. And men do fall away, and they do speak evil things. As being through the program and coming out of the program and being amongst the program still, there's men that fall away, and they immediately turn on Daryl and the program and us, and they go and speak perverse and twisted things and talk about the flock and how Pharisaical or religious or better we are than anyone, and or we're doing something wrong. And now we have elders to deal with that. You know, as men and even as brethren before the elders, we had to deal with that individually, and that was strenuous. But now we have elders to almost prevent that at all possible means from that happening. Because now there's elders to oversee and to deal with any kind of issues that might arise in the church here at Middleburg. He leads me beside still waters. And you might be able to see there's still water up there. And the sheep's nose and mouth are so close together that they really need it still so they can drink. Because if not, they're going to choke and they're not going to be able to drink. And really, Jesus does, I see this as Jesus calming the necessities of our life, because we have a big picture of the necessities of life, even the wants that we have them in perspective, that these things aren't very important at the end of the day. And with that in perspective, and with our minds trained by the Word to see that, we're not consumed by a bigger house or a house or a bigger, better car, getting ourselves into debt because we want these things, a intimate relationship, or even the things that, like the necessities of life, you know, food, shelter, clothing, and water. I mean, he really puts in perspective what matters, and as a good shepherd, he does that for us, so we're not consumed and we fall away and we're talking perverse things, because he makes the waters of our life still. Verse 3, he restores my soul. You know, he does fill the void that as many men and women have been converted to Christ and to the gospel, we often talk about that void that needs to be filled, and it only came by God, by Jesus Christ. And how true is that? He does restore the soul of man and women. And, you know, without that, there is no restoring of the soul. He's the only one that can do that. And how, I mean, looking back at that and thinking about that, putting this lesson together, how true is that? I mean, we could all say amen to that. Amen. So, it was a big void without Him. And thank God we've been converted to the truth. It gives us strength in hard times. You know, Paul understood that. Are you seeing that? Yes, you are. In 2 Corinthians 11 and 12, chapters 11 and 12, I don't know what verse I got on here. We got rid of them. But he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weakness, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities." I can never pronounce that word. "For when I am weak, then I am strong." So Paul understood that as in the hard times he dealt with and defending his title of, as an apostle there, and the things he went through of shipwreck and being whipped or by the Jews 5 times, 39 whips 5 times, and the list in chapter 11 there, and then to go on here in chapter 12 to say that when he is weak, then he is strong. And that only comes from the training of our minds and hearts through the Word. And then we have Jesus in Matthew 26 when he's in the garden. He says, the scriptures read, "Then he said to them, 'My soul is very sorrowful, even to death. Remain here and watch with me.' And going a little farther, he fell down on his face and prayed, saying, 'My Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will.'" We see there that God gave him strength through the training of really Jesus' life, because you often heard in the Gospel of John, he'd say, my will is to do His will. My food is to do His will. It was always about God's will. So as we train our lives after the Good Shepherd and the way He thought, this is the way we think, then when we're going through hard times, we find restoration of our soul to be able to endure these hard things, even death. And Jesus knew. That's what He was asking for, to have the cup removed from Him. But not as His will, but as God's will would be done. And it did, and thank God it did. Because none of us would be standing here right now with restored souls. Verse 3. "He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake." And I really wanted to bring out "for His name's sake." It's important to understand that He leads us in the path of righteousness in the right ways, and that as His example in the teachings of the gospel and understanding what righteousness really is and looks like, we're able to emulate that. But really, it's for His name's sake, because for his name is who He is. As Yahweh means to be. It means to be Lord. It means Master. The I Am means I exist. So His name is who He is. It is to be. He is Lord. He is Master. He has always existed before the beginning of time. He always will exist. So God takes great, He cares about names. And there was a reason for every name in the Old Testament to the New Testament. There was a meaning behind it. But for Jesus Christ's name, as He stated in John 8, that He said, "I am," He was saying, "I exist. I was before the time, before Abraham, I was, I am." And we sing that great hymn, Jesus' name above all names. Name above all names. Beautiful Savior, glorious Lord, Emmanuel, God is with us, blessed Redeemer, living Word. The list goes on. We know the song. And in Isaiah 48, verse 9 and 11, for my name's sake I defer my anger. For the sake of my praise I restrain it for you, that I might not cut you off. For my own sake I do it. For how long should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. It really is that God's name is at stake for the sake of the praise of those who know Him. That God's name, as we live, we live according to His name. And He does things for the sake of His name. That's what Isaiah is saying there. In Ezekiel 20, verse 9, but I acted for the sake of my name, that it should not go, should not be profaned in the sight of the nations among whom they lived, in whose sight I made myself known to them in the bringing out of the land of Egypt. That God's name was at stake. That He had to bring the Israelites out for His name's sake. Because if He didn't, then the Egyptians would have said, well, our God's greater than yours. And He had to do that to bring about the plagues that would carry them out and harden Pharaoh's heart that He would let them go. And God being sovereign over all that. But God's name is at stake, so that's why He does things. Alexander the Great, I don't know if y'all have heard of this story, but there was judgments being pronounced on the soldiers in Alexander the Great's military army. And they brought in people, and he was telling them what their judgment was going to be. And there was this young guy that came in, and Alexander the Great said, what's your charge? What are you here for? And it ended up being, or he asked, what's your name? And he kind of mumbled, Alexander. And then he said, what's your name? I said, Alexander. I said, boy, what's your name? He was just, because he knew that Alexander the Great's name was his name. And he finally heard the boy. He said, Alexander the Great, well, he had pity on him. But he was still stern with him. And he finally got his name out of him. And he said, Alexander? He said, boy, you change your name. Change your name or change your conduct. Because Alexander the Great's name was at stake because of his name. So he told him to change his name or to change his conduct. And how true that is for us as Christians. There's multiple. Matthew 5, that we are the salt and the light of the earth. John 13, 35, by our love, all people will know it, we're disciples. John 17, that our unity would allow people to believe that Jesus is God. There's a lot at stake because of our lives. And we should have great conviction and great movement in our lives because of that. Because God's name is at stake because we are now called Christians. And that should bring us to wear that name with great honor and with great good works as we're about to start looking at this next year. We should be doing great things for His name because His name is at stake. Verse 4. Through the valley of the shadow and death, I will fear no evil. Although I walk through the valley of the shadow and death, I will fear no evil. So the believer does believe in God's sovereignty. I mean, Jerry was just talking about that. And our scripture reading was talking about that God does work all things together for those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. We believe that. We should. That should change our thinking and our lives. as we believe that God is sovereign over everything. As He spoke things into our existence, and He made us with His hands, and He breathed the breath of life into us, that we are now made in His image, that He places us above everything else. We believe that God is sovereign over all things, and He places a great value on us. Now, an unbeliever panics at life's circumstances. You know, who the president is, this COVID thing, even death itself. As an unbeliever, we should fear that, because there's no eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. There is nothing else after that. The resurrection is the evidence that's not true. But as an unbeliever, that should scare us, who the president is, because we're just in this turmoil of what's going on around us and how we're getting pushed around like a ping pong ball and COVID and what's doing around us and death. I mean, those things should scare us, because we don't believe in the sovereignty of God, and we don't know what else there is but those things. Where's Philippians 4? Okay, I didn't put that up there. Philippians 4, though, Paul says in verse 4-6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." You know, why do we pray? We understand that there is a God. We believe that He is listening to all our prayers all at once, that He can do that. He is able to do those things. And that our prayers are petitioned to Him, and that we can find that great peace that does surpass all understanding. There isn't any peace that touches that except that which was given to us by Jesus Christ, our great shepherd. Paul understood that. "Your rod and your staff, they comfort me." You know, we've been looking at Nehemiah and rebuilding. You remember, they'd have tools in one hand and weapons in the other. And the shepherd might have the same thing going on, that he's going to be pulling back his sheep with his staff, but fighting off enemies with the rod. And I don't have a rod, but I do by the thankfulness of Terrell Beverly. It's about pretty close to the size that staff might be. And, you know, come here, Joey. You know, sheep would get close to you know, cliffs and places they don't need to go, and he would loop that around his neck and pull them back. And I did some research on the staff, or the rod, because some thought that maybe, because the rod in the scriptures are talking about is the discipline, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. But I don't think a rod was used to break the sheep's legs, as some people would maybe claim, because then you'd have to carry this 70-pound sheep and while trying to guide the other sheep. I don't know about that, but I don't think that makes sense. I think that the rod was used to fight off the enemies of the sheep, and that staff was used to pull back the sheep. And God's got both those things in His hands, and they do comfort us. Verse 5. "You prepare a table, you anoint my head, my cup overflows." You know, as in ancient times, the host was obligated to protect the guest at all cost. So even though there was enemies outside, and as the guest would come in the host house, that guest was obligated to protect at whatever cost. And how true that is for us, that God is, again, as He's sovereign over all things and powerful, He prepares a table before us in the midst of our enemies. And I don't know about you, but like being in prison and being scared because there's like fights and people getting beat up and just things that I want to speak in front of you about that you don't have an appetite to eat when that stuff's going on. And I mean, I don't even know what you deal with out there in a police car. I'm sure it's probably worse than prison because we're got so many more devices. But, you know, you can't eat with that kind of stress. But as God, He prepares the table and we're able to eat in the midst of our enemies and the things that are going on. Because, again, we believe in the sovereignty of God that president, death, COVID, anything, it doesn't matter. God is in control of all those things. And we can find that great peace, that peace that surpasses all understanding, where we're able to actually sit down and eat. And the anointing of the head, that was a gesture in ancient times as the guests would come to the host house. They would anoint the head of the guest. And that was a sign of respect and you're now my guest. And this is a symbolism of joy. As sometimes the scriptures talk about anointing, and my cup overflows. You see it. The guests would pour their cups until it overflowed. And again, that was a gesture that, you know, you're my guest and I'm giving you everything I got. And how true is that for us with God? He supplies all the time, anywhere. And in abundance. And you're not seeing what I'm seeing, so I better skip over that. So, let me turn here. You don't have to. So, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. You know, the word surely denotes assurance, again, like we've been talking about, that there's an assurity that these things are going to be happening, that goodness and mercy are going to follow us, and that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And really, goodness and mercy is the greatest things we need. We need goodness. We need to know what we didn't know what goodness was until we seen Jesus Christ, our great shepherd. And mercy, I mean, you just spoke about it from Luke 6, right? We need mercy. We fail, we stumble, and we need to be giving it back to those who need it too. But goodness and mercy is what we need the most. And to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I guess we have time. In John 14... John 14, if you want to turn there. Verses 2 and 3. John 14, verse 2 and 3. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and will take you to myself, that where I am, you may be also. Thank God for that great truth and promise that we will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That our good shepherd came to this earth, and as He was God in flesh, He didn't know that. He laid down as a good shepherd would for His, He laid down His life for His sheep. And we weren't sheep before. We were sheep. We were straying though, and we were getting in all kinds of nonsense. We were consuming all kinds of garbage from this world. Some of the garbage still stays with us, you know, internally and externally. And only the good shepherd can work those things out of us and discipline us when He needs to, and to pull us back with His staff from the cliffs of death and falling away from His fold. He does that. But the great promise of being able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever. At the end of the day, you get anything from this lesson, that really is the pinnacle of everything, is being able to be with Him. Because Terrell and many others can speak about just the frailties of life and just our bodies breaking down and you know, corrupt governments and sicknesses and those things. They happen, and they can pull us down. But to dwell on the truth of being able to dwell in the house of the Lord forever keeps us going. Keeps us to trust that He is the Good Shepherd and that He has many rooms. And He is coming back to bring back His fold and to present us, to be presented to Christ, and to finally be away from all the things that we spoke about, frailties of life. So the invitation is this: if you're a sheep, as we all are, and you've been straying and getting into all kinds of stuff and occurring all kinds of diseases on yourself that's just eating you up, tearing you up, pulling you down, questioning what's the meaning of life. Is there a God? What do? Who do I follow? How do I deal with all this stuff? The Good Shepherd's the only one that can do that. He wants to pull you in. He wants you to be a part of the fold. The fold that's going to be brought to God one day to dwell in His house forever. Because this house is temporal. This house lets you down at times. That house don't. And we're going to live forever if we remain faithful to Him and allow Him to be the Good Shepherd that He is. So the invitation is, if you want Him to be your Good Shepherd, now is the time to do it. Not when we leave, but now. As your heart has been pricked and stirred and hopefully convicted, whether you're a straying sheep that doesn't know the Good Shepherd or one that's been straying that does know the Good Shepherd and wants to come back to His fold and make things right, now is the time to do it as we stand and sing.